All right, morning everyone. Today's daf in Krisus. Today's daf is daf Tezvav. We're back. We're going to go back to Yud Beis Amud Beis, and we started the third parak of Krisus. Okay. Remember yesterday we talked about the four cases in which you ate chaylev and you were trying to determine whether or not you have to bring a carbon chatas. The first case of the Mishnah was where somebody comes over and he says, you ate chaylev, plain and simple. Remember yesterday we offered two pshatim in the Mishnah. We suggested one pshat is that it was a pair of witnesses who said it to you, and you contradicted them, you denied. But the first part of the Mishnah is going like Rav Meir, and Rav Meir says the two witnesses establish a fact, even if you deny it. The other pshat in the Mishnah is that when it says Amru Lo, it just simply means one witness said to you. I know Amru usually is in plural, but but Amru over here means that it was one witness who said it to you and you were quiet and okay. That's the first case of the Mishnah. Second case of the Mishnah is one witness says you ate chaylev and the other witness says you didn't eat chaylev and you're not sure. You yourself have no idea. So you have to bring a Ashram Taloi, right? A carbon on the suffix, on the chance that you may have eaten chaylev. And then the third case of the Mishnah is one witness says to you, you ate chaylev, you just simply say, it's not correct, it's not true, I didn't eat chaylev, so you don't have to bring a carbon, it's your word against his word. And then the last case in the Mishnah, which was the big debate, was what if two witnesses come over to you and say to you, you ate chaylev, and you deny, and you say, no, I didn't eat chaylev, so then what would the story then be? And as we learned yesterday, that's the machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Now, what's behind the position of the Chachamim? I mean, Rav Meir's argument is very clear because he says in the Mishnah, Rav Meir said, look, two witnesses can put me to death, so two witnesses can't obligate me to bring a carbon chatas, right? Two witnesses. So that's Rav Meir. What's behind the Chachamim? So the Gemara offered two explanations of the Chachamim. One explanation of the Chachamim was, Ne'amanus, meaning, look, we're talking about me right now. I know me better than you know me. I have more credibility about me than you have credibility about me. And, right, we're not talking about Beis Din. No one's going to Beis Din over here. This is about my kapara, my carbon chatas. It's me. The conversation is about me. I know me better than you do. And even if you is plural, even if you means two, but I know me better. That's one explanation of the Chacham. The other explanation is a much more technical explanation based on the concept called Migu. Migu means, look, I could have given you a different argument altogether, which you would have nothing to say to, so now you're going to have to believe me on this as well. In other words, so let's go back over the case of eating chaylev. Two people come over and say, you ate chaylev. So I could simply look at them and say, yeah, I ate chaylev. Okay, you're right. I ate chaylev on purpose. Okay. Right, we talked about this yesterday. It's a funny scenario, right, how a person would want to incriminate himself like that. But he could say that. Now, once he says that, the discussion is over, and it's over real quickly. Because now what? Now what are they going to say? Oh, okay. Well, in the discussion, it ended. It ended awkwardly, but it ended. Okay, so that's the concept behind Migu. Yesterday, at the end of yesterday's daf, we learned that this concept of Migu, first of all, the Gemara doesn't give a clear, a definitive approach in terms of what is the proper way, what's the correct way to understand the Chachamim. Is it just simply that a person has Ne'amanus, or is it based on this concept of Migu? But then the Gemara points out that even Rav Meir agrees to this concept of Migu, meaning that, yeah, you know, if you could have said something else that would have been clearly a discussion ender, conversation ender, even Rav Meir kind of agrees to the Chachamim, right? Remember yesterday, three cases at the very end of yesterday's daf where we talked about where even the Rav Meir is going to say, yeah, you have to believe him there. Like, for example, right, the awkward scenario where two witnesses accuse him of having relations with Shivcha Harufa. And he looks at them and he said, and they're telling him, now you're obligated to bring a carbon asham, right? Shivcha Harufa. And his response, well, he could say whatever he wants, but he could have said, well, I didn't have Bia Gemura with her, right? And they don't know, and that will be a discussion ender. And okay, so the Gemara says, even Rav Meir agrees to this basic idea that you have this Migu in force.
Question.
Yeah.
The Migu is said that the guy could have said a better argument to help himself.
Right.
But this is their...
Correct,
reverse.
Correct.
This is that's, a garment that is not helping himself.
Right.
How can it be good?
You're right. You're absolutely right. And just to make it... I gave you the simple version of the Gemara. I presented it nice and easy. Even though, as you point out already, it's hard to understand Migu in this context because he's saying something terrible about himself. He's incriminating himself, which, you know, in Adam Atma Rasha, in Halacha, you can't incriminate yourself. So
yeah, that's the definition of a Migu, that you could have said something
right.
Better to.
Also, and Tosfos makes this point on Yud Beis Amud Aleph. I mentioned this to Aaron yesterday. To understand the whole Gemara in the way I explained it based on Rashi. All is very difficult because you're basically making an argument and you have credibility, but because of your migu. But we generally say if you have a migu on one side and you have witnesses on the other, witnesses are stronger than a migu, right? Witnesses are, you know, establish a fact, and all you have is just this migu. If I ever pit the two one against the other, witnesses versus a migu, witness is always going to win. So that makes the Gemara over here even that much more difficult to understand. And okay, so it's not that easy. We're in the middle of Yud Beis Amud Beis. We're now in the Gemara. I'm continuing the Gemara from where we left off yesterday. Achol chelav v'chelav me'alamecha. You eat chelav, and then you repeat, and you eat chelav again, and you do it in one state of unawareness. So matkev l'Rav Zera, amayinu chay v'lach achas. So the Gemara starts off, it's going to be a very simple question-answer format of the Gemara over here. The question is very simple. But you ate two kezesim. So shouldn't you be chayv two karmen chatases? The answer is very simple. Yeah, but in order to bring two karmen chatases, you need the acts to be divided. Meaning just because I'm eating more food doesn't immediately result in a new carbon chattas. A new carbon chattas has to be because this is a new act. A new act needs a point of separation from the previous act. So if I remember that chelev was prohibited, I was about to say permitted, right? If I remember that chelev was prohibited, and then I forget again and I lapse again into a state of, I totally forgot. So that now divides the two acts. But if it's all in one state of unawareness, just because I eat more food doesn't immediately mean, does not result in a new karmen chatas. So the Gemara now is going to present the same give and take, it's just a slightly different format. The Gemara says, look, from the Mishnah it's clear that if I go into a lapse of unawareness, I come out of the lapse, right? I wake up, so to say. And then I go back into the lapse again, you're going to be chayv two karmen chatasis. But the Gemara says, but you're repeating the same act. So Amalei Abaye, halamas mechalakim. So Abaye says, yeah, but understand that once you wake up, once you come out of your state of unawareness, so now let's close the chapter on your eating of the chelev. And then when you go into another lapse, a new lapse of unawareness, that's a new chapter. That's a new karmen chatas. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the Chiddush in our Mishnah is that I ate it on two different plates. Now, this position of Rabbi Yoshua, which we've quoted already a couple of times, is that if I eat foods on two different plates, the two plates will divide the foods into two different acts. Okay. Right. He said that vis-a-vis a chumrah. Meaning, if I have chelev on two plates, and I sit down and I eat from my plate, and I see that the person next to me didn't show up. So I eat the food from his plate. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, those are now two separate achilas, even though I may have eaten both in one state of unawareness, and behelam echad. Doesn't matter, Rav Yeshua says that the plates divide. Rav Yeshua only says it as a chumrah, not as a kula. So for example, let's say according to Rav Yeshua, I have a half a kezias on one plate, and a half a kezias on another plate. And I eat the two. So look, you could have made the argument, look, well, didn't Rav Yeshua divide it, doesn't he hold that plates divide? And maybe he would argue that even if it results in a kula, because over here, those are two separate eatings, and I didn't eat a kezayis of chelev. So the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Yoshua only says it as a chumrah. Iga da amar al seifa. Now again, the Gemara is going to review the same discussion in a slightly different format. According to our second version, we're actually, yes, meaning Rabbi Yoshua says the plates divide, and in both as a chumra and as a kula. Meaning, if there's a kezayis on each plate, I'll be chayav a carbon chatos for each plate that I eat from. If the two plates only have a half a kezayis, they won't combine to make a full kezayis. Fine. V'loshna l'chumra kama, Rabbi Yoshua midasefa minechad, v'shein tamchuyim, reisha minechad, v'tamchuy echad. So Pshita, the Gemara says, isn't that obvious? I'm Ravina Kagon, Shahaisa lo yidia bein time va'aliba de Rabbi Gamliel. So the Gemara says, what about the fact that the Mishnah seems to be so obvious? Meaning, I ate, mimin echad, I ate from one species. So the Gemara says, from one type. Well, what if I came out of my state of unawareness after a half a kezayis? Right, Rabbi Gamliel d'amar ein yidia l'chatzi shir. Rabbi Gamliel is of the opinion that that's not significant. Okay, remember, you go into your state of unawareness, halama, and you eat food. So let's say you ate a kezayis. You come out of your state of unawareness. Fine. So in other words, that closes the door. So now, next time you eat, it's a new chapter. It's a new karmen chatas. What about this? What if I ate a half kezayis and then come out of my state of unawareness and lapse again into a new state of unawareness? Okay? And so does that wake up, does that knowledge now, does that close the door on the achila that I eat, even though what I ate is not a full kezayis? So Rabbi Gamliel says, no. Ein yediyah lechatzi shir. Did not. And the Gemara says, and I'll show you this based on a Mishnah in Shabbos. Let's say a person on Shabbos writes two letters. In other words, on Shabbos, in order to violate the malacha of kosev, you need to write two letters. Right? So writing one letter is a chatzi shir. It's only half a shir. So let's say you wake up on Shabbos morning, and you write one letter Shabbos morning, Shabbos afternoon, you write a second letter. So, and let's even say that you do that b'shtei halamos. Meaning in the morning when you woke up, you were a little groggy, you forgot today was Shabbos, you write one letter. Okay? And then you wake up. Then you really wake up. And you realize, oh no, today's Shabbos. Okay? And of course, you then realize that you wrote one letter. And then, later that afternoon, you're a little tired, you're a little groggy, you go back into your state of unawareness, right? And you forget that today's Shabbos, and you write a second letter. But you had a yediyah, but right in the middle of the day, you realized today was Shabbos, right? Someone made Kiddush, and then you said, oh, right, today's Shabbos, right. So now you had a yediyah, but it separated not a full shear from a full shear, but a half a shear from a half a shear. What does Rabbi Gamliel say? Mechayev. Rabbi Gamliel says, Mechayev. The two combine. How can the two combine? You had a yediyah right in the middle. Doesn't the yediyah separate? And the answer is, Rabbi Gamliel says, yediyahs do not separate a half shear. Meaning, it's interesting, according to Rabbi Gamliel, a yediyah will only separate only after you completed a shear. Then the yediyah will separate. But if you only had a half shear, that's not going to be enough. The Chacham in Poetry, Rabbi Gamliel, Savrein yediyah l'chatzi shear, Rabbi Ben Savri, Yeshud yediyah l'chatzi shear. And maybe that's exactly the point of our Mishnah. If I eat half a kezayis of chalev, and then I wake up and I realize, oh no, chalev is wrong, you're not allowed to eat chalev. And then I lapse again into my unawareness, and I eat another chatzi kezayis, it comes out to be the same achlokas. Rabbi Gamliel is going to say, you have to bring a carbon chatas. Aye, but wasn't the two acts separated by yediyah? Rabbi Gamliel says, no. There's no yediyah for a chatzi shir. And the chachamim would disagree, and our Mishnah would be subscribing like the position of Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, that ends the first basic discussion of the third paragraph of Croesus. Croesus is a lot of fundamental rules regarding shiurim, regarding how much you need to eat. So right now we talk so far in terms of quantity. How much do you need to eat in order to be chayav? So if we're talking about a food, so the shiur is a kezayis. Okay? And you're going to be a chayav, a carbon chatas, for the kezayis that you ate. Are you going to be chayav two carbon chatas for two kezayisim? Well, now we know it depends. It depends on a lot of factors. First of all, if there are two different Isurim, for sure you're going to be chayv two different carbon chattises. If you have a Yediyah bein time, a Yediyah in the middle, you're also going to be chayv two carbon chattises. Okay, so we're now established that you need to have a shear of how much you need to eat. Next big discussion is, within what time frame do you have to eat it? Meaning, let's say I eat a little chalev in the morning, a little chalev in the afternoon, and a little chalev in the evening. And all three of those combine to make a full kazayas. Is that going to bring about a liability? Am I going to have to bring a carbon chattis for that? So we all know the answer is no. But we'll see now, we're going to be a little bit more informed after we get to the next Mishnah and next Sugya. But basically the answer is no. How much do you have to eat it within in order to be chayev? So I think we already all know the answer. Kidei achilas pras. The amount of time that it takes to eat a pras. Now, first of all, what's a pras? So if you take a look at Rashi, right on the Mishnah, Rashi says, of course, the Gemara in Erevin, it's the shear, it's the amount of, first of all, pras is half of a loaf of bread, right? The Gemara in Erevin talks about that in terms of making an Erev for Shabbos, Erev Tchumim. So how much is half a loaf of bread? So it's equivalent to the volume of four eggs. The amount of time that it would take a regular person, right? The Gemara, the Mishnah never talks about who's eating it, but right, there's a Minchas Chinuch over here I have in my notes on the side of the Gemara. But anyway, but the amount of time it takes a regular person to eat four eggs. How much does that come out to? So, as you can well imagine, there's not a consensus of opinion. We have somewhere of a range between 3 to 9 minutes, thereabouts. Okay. Point is like this. In order to be chayiv, you have to eat a kazayas, that's the amount of food, which is the volume of an olive, within the time frame that a regular person would eat four egg volumes of that food. Okay? That is when you incur a liability, and you're going to have to bring a carbon chatas. If I do not eat a kazayas within that time frame, so then there's no liability, then there's no carbon chatas. It's still going to be prohibited, obviously. Right, chatzis shir zasser, and according to one opinion in the Gemara in Yuma, chatzis shir zasser in the Torah, still going to be prohibited, still going to be Torah prohibition, but in terms of a chatas liability, it will not be, you won't be chayv to bring karmel chatas until you eat a kazayis within kidei achilas pras. Pesach is coming up, I'll just make mention of this quickly. The assumption is that just like you have to eat a kazayis of chalev within a kidei achilas pras to get a liability, so there's an assumption that the same thing is true in terms of fulfilling a mitzvah as well. Meaning, if there is a mitzvah that requires an achila, so you have to eat a kazayis within the time frame of kidei achilas pras. So that's why you'll hear people say that, you know, when you eat, sit down and eat your matzah on the Seder night, so you got to eat it quickly. You can't eat it slowly because you want to eat your shear of a kazayis within a kidei achilas pras.
You know the modern measurement for a
kidei achilas pras? I told you, the range is somewhere in the 3 to 9 minute range. Right. Although the I've heard leniencies in terms of the eating of the matzah. First of all, as I'm sure everyone knows, when we eat matzah on the Seder night, we don't eat one kazayis. We eat two kazayisim, right? The Shulchan Aruch says that you have to eat two kazayisim, not one kazayis. And that's more than, meaning that's both for the motzi matzah portion of the Seder. It's for korech, only one kazayis is necessary. And for afikomen, another two kazayisim, right? It's based on it's based on a suffix. We don't know which matzah we should be eating from. We should be eating from the shlema, we should be eating from the prusa. So therefore we eat from a kazayis of both. Okay, but anyway, so you can imagine, in other words, there may be a lot of matzah to eat, to then confine ourselves to the 3 to 9 minute range, that's a little bit bizarre. So in other words, I've heard from many people that you don't, you know, to try to stuff your face is, first of all, not the way to eat in general, and certainly now that we have to eat two kazayisim, then to confine ourselves to 3 to 9 minutes is somewhat of a difficult concept. Anyway, but we're focusing more on the Isurim. So we're going to go now to the discussion of the Isurim. Yes.
With regards to the Kedei Achilas Pras, if you're doing two Chatzis Shears,
in the Helam Achas.
Right.
So you ate one in 4 minutes, and then a half hour later, still the cell Helam that you had in there, you know. And
8 and 4 minutes
with that combined.
Right. So, but it's without the outside of the time frame of Kedei Achilas Pras.
Right.
Right. So then it couldn't combine.
Okay.
Right. Presumably. Baruch Adonai Melchom Shalom Nibrom. It says the Mishnah, "Kama Yishe Ba'Ochlim Keilo Ochel Klayos Divrei Rav Meir." So the first opinion in the Mishnah is the opinion of Rav Meir. Now Rav Meir has nothing to do with Kedei Achilas Pras. Rav Meir does not hold of Kedei Achilas Pras. The halacha doesn't fall like Rav Meir, but Rav Meir says the amount of time that it takes to you to eat klayos, roasted grains, that's not very helpful. Meaning, what is he saying? Right, the amount of time that it takes to eat roasted grains. So the Gemara later on will point out that it's at this juncture it's very difficult to understand what he's saying. Is he being makel? Is he being machmir? It's very unclear right now what Rav Meir is saying. Stay tuned. We're going to come back and try to get a better understanding of Rav Meir. The Chacham Amar Memach Yishe Mitchil Vatzok Kedei Achilas Pras Chayev. The amount of time that it takes to eat Kedei Achilas Pras. I'm sure everyone knows this, but I'm just going to make sure that I'm going to mention it anyway, just so that we all know. Where does this come from? Right. What's the source of this? So we're going to go through the whole Gemara today, hopefully, God willing, and you're going to see that the Gemara does not provide one singular source for this. What does that tell you? Halach l'Moshe Mitzinai. Meaning this has got to be tradition. A simple halach l'Moshe Mitzinai. In general, we say, right, the Gemara beginning of Sukkah says it, in general we say that any shear, any amount, and both in terms of quantity and in terms of time, is halach l'Moshe Mitzinai. Which just makes our Mishnah just a little bit stranger to understand, because then what? What's Rav Meir saying? I disagree with what the halach l'Moshe Mitzinai is? Is that what Rav Meir is saying? And again, I quote the Rambam. We've quoted the Rambam before. The Rambam says that there can't be machlokas when it comes to halacha moshe mitzinai. When it comes to interpretation of the law, so then we can have various opinions. But when it comes to halacha moshe mitzinai, that's a tradition. So there can't be machlokas. So, assuming the Rambam's right, so then how do you understand the Rav Meir chachamim disagreement? Okay, I know I'm presenting an issue and not giving a good resolution, but it's an issue. Okay, we continue in the Mishnah. Achal ochlin tamein v'shasa mashkin tamein shasa revias yayim v'nechlas ha-mikdash v'shakadei achilas pras chayev. Okay. I should have introduced before I read this next line of the Mishnah. All right, let me do that again with an introduction, with a proper introduction. Can a person become tamei by eating tamei foods? So the answer is min ha-Torah, no. In other words, you become tamei by coming into contact with a source of tumah, and that's it. It could be a sheretz, it could be a carcass of a dead animal, a nevela, it could be the corpse of a human body, the remains of a human body, that's a mace. But you have to come into contact with a source of tumah, or a nida, or zava, yoledes. It's a source of tumah. You eating tamei foods does not make you tamei. Does not make a person tamei. Good. Along comes in the Chachamim, and the Chachamim stepped in and said, okay, you're right, but we don't want people eating tummy foods. And so as Gzeira d'Rabbanan, what we're going to do is that we're going to establish a Tumah d'Rabbanan, a rabbinic Tumah, on somebody who eats a certain amount of tummy food. How much tummy food do you need to eat in order to become tummy? Right, this is what's called psul hagvia. Right, the person himself becomes tummy, and this is all, huh?
This is only on baster.
This is on any tummy foods. The consumption of any tummy foods.
Remember, you only become tummy if you eat it. It goes into the basic.
That right. You're correct. In other words, that's by nevelas of tahor. But by any other tummy foods, you do not become tummy on the Torah level. And so the chachamim stepped in. The chachamim said, "You're going to become tummy. How much food do you need to eat?" A chatzi pras, meaning half the volume that we discussed previously. We talked about kedei achilas pras, right? That's a half a loaf of bread. So this is half of a half a loaf of bread, or if you'd like, a quarter loaf of bread. We said that a half a loaf of bread is equivalent to 3 eggs. So we're talking about, 4 eggs. So we're talking about the volume of 2 eggs. Okay? So if you eat shnei beitzim, 2 eggs of tummy food, rabbinically, you're now going to be tamei. But what the Chachamim did basically now is put it in the same framework. You know, anytime the Chachamim make a Gzeir Derabanan, they mold it, they shape it like an Issur Torah. So by Issur Torah, what do we know? There has to be a time frame in which you have to eat it. So same over here. When the Chachamim say that you become tummy by eating tummy foods, so they put it within a time frame. And that's exactly what the Mishnah is telling us. And now let me read the Mishnah inside. Achal ochlin tamein, v'shasa mashkin tamein. So if you eat food which is tamei, if you drink which is tamei, shasa revi yisyam v'nichlas ha-mikdash v'shah k'dei achilas pras, chayev. And you ate it within a k'dei achilas pras, so you are going to be, you're going to be chayev. Meaning you now are formally tamei, and therefore you're going to be chayev. Now when it says chayev over here, I'm sorry, and even if you drink and walk into the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to be tummy as well. A drunk is not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash. We'll talk about this at the end of the daf today. Rabbi Lazar, Omri, Pasuk, Ba'o, Imnasam, Ba'mayim, Koshu, Pata. Rabbi Lazar, who's talking about the drinking. If you don't drink consecutively, you take a little break in your drinking, or you throw a little water on the alcohol, on the wine, so he says you're going to be Pata because you are not yet you're not considered a drunk.
Rabbi, you see the Tosfos on the bottom, Ochlin, Tamei?
Yeah, now do I see it? I have it underlined.
Oh, we had that in Tzvachim, the same Tosfos.
Right. V'im Tama Tepek Le Mechi Naga Bu Tamid V'yesh Lama De Tachav Lo Chaver Be Beis Abliya. Yeah. Yeah. Someone stuffed it down. Ibai Lahu. Now, the first issue is just such a basic issue. What's Rav Meir saying in our Mishnah? We don't follow like Rav Meir Lahalacha, but still, it's Torah. It's part of the corpus of Torah. What is he saying? So, Rameh lechumer kamer lekula kamer lechumer kamer v'hachi ketani kilo ochel klas da'afil kula yama ve'alfa gal demitchil v'atzov yosem echtei achol aspras kevin demashke echel te mechayev. So, is he saying that as long as you are continuously eating, and you could be eating all day, and you're just nibbling, but you're still, it's a continuous eating, it's a hamshacha. So, as long as you eat a kezayis, even if it took you from morning until evening, you will be liable, and then the Chachamim step in and say, no, you're on the clock. In order to have a chatas liability, you have to eat a kezayis of chalev within a kedei achilas pras, within, let's just say for argument's sake, let's say it's 9 minutes. You have to eat it within 9 minutes, and that's it. If you eat it outside of 9 minutes, so then no. So, v'amalei rabbanan da'ji, yishev echtei achilas pras du'dechayv, yosem echtei achilas pras pater. And that's what the Chachamim are saying. The Chachamim are saying, no, you're confined. So then, in other words, Rav Meir is coming out as a significant chumrah. He's being very strict. He's saying that there really is no time frame for eating. As long as it's a continuous eating, you're going to be chayav. That's one way to understand Rav Meir. O Dilma, l'kula kamer da'achi kadani kilo ochel klayis v'hu d'lo ifsik b'ni b'ni. Aval d'ifsik b'ni b'ni af agav d'mitchil v'asof v'ichtech l'espras pater. Maybe Rav Meir is coming to be a significant kula, meaning he agrees with the position of the Chachamim. It has to be k'dei achilas pras. On top of that, maybe he's saying the following: it also has to be continuous, meaning you have to eat it within 9 minutes, and you have to eat it with a continuous act of eating. Meaning, if I eat for 2 minutes, take a 4 minute break, and then eat for the last 2 minutes, what Rav Meir is saying is you're not going to be chayiv. It has to be continuous. And v'amalei rabbanan came into mitzchil ve'atzov v'chdei achilas prasu chayiv. And what the Chachamim are saying is, no, it doesn't matter if you take a break. As long as you ate the kezayis within the time frame of 9 minutes, you're going to be chayiv. So Toshma, the Gemara says, okay, those are our two suggestions in terms of how to understand Rav Meir. And the Gemara over here is going to end the discussion very quickly and very conclusively. Toshma, Chachamim amrim ad shiyishe v'chdei achilas pras mitzchil ve'atzov. The key word over here is the word ad, meaning you have to really hear the give and the take. Rav Meir states his position, and the Chachamim saying no, not until ad. So iamar b'sham Rav Meir lechomer ha'inu diktani ad shisha ad d'shay dilei k'dei achilas pras. We're now on the topic of Gimel Amud Aleph. If Rav Meir is establishing himself as a chomer, meaning Rav Meir has no time limit whatsoever, as long as you can be eating the whole day. As long as you keep nibbling, you're going to be chayef. And what the Chachamim are saying is, no, ad, no. Not until you eat it within the k'dei achilas pras. The Gemara says, that makes a lot of sense. Ela'i amat Rav Meir l'kula v'chachamim omrim im shaha mi baye lay. If Rav Meir is coming out as a kula, meaning, Rav Meir says that it has to be within Kedei Achilas Pras. And Rav Meir is also saying it has to be continuous eating. So then the word ad of the Chachamim is totally inappropriate. What do you mean until? What the Chachamim should have then said is im shaha. No. If you take a break, you're going to be chayef. Meaning, even if you take a break. So, elash ma'mina, Rav Meir l'chumra, shma mina. So the Gemara says Rav Meir is coming out as a chumra. Good. So now the Gemara says that's the proper way to understand Rav Meir. So now we go back to our Mishnah. So how do you understand Rav Meir? That even if you continuously nibble all day, even if it's from the morning until the evening, you're still going to be chayev a carbon chatas, as long as you ate it altogether, a kezayis. And the Chachamim say, no, we have the shira of what's called Kedei Achilas Pras. Amar Rabbanai Amar Shmuel, B'chalavim v'nevela achi shim etchil v'atzof b'kedei achilas pras. Okay? The Gemara quotes in the name of Shmuel that by chalev and by nevela, it's achi shim etchil v'atzof b'kedei achilas pras. In other words, you have this time frame of Kedei Achilas Pras. Ochlin temeim, ushkatzim v'ramasim umashkin afilu kol hayam kulo, Bechdei achilas pras. Even if it's all day, kedei achilas pras. What? What? My ka'amar. So you know, when you have these statements that really just on the surface make no sense whatsoever, right? What you should expect, and here, perfect. The Gemara says, "What just happened? What was just said?" Amar Rav Papa hachi ka'amar. So Rav Papa says, "This is a pshat. Afilu kol hayam kulo v'hu she'achol kezayis bechdei achilas pras." Okay, look. Remember what we learned back in the Mishnah? Is that if you eat tummy food, you're going to be tummy. How much tummy food you have to eat? So a chatzi pras, which is the volume of 2 eggs. Now, 2 eggs has multiple kezesim in those 2 eggs. What the Gemara now is going to suggest is the following. This is now Rav Papa's explanation of Shmuel, who's quoted by the name by a namor by the name of Rabbanai. And he says like this. You could be eating the tummy food all day, and you're going to become tummy. The only limitation is that you have to eat a kezias of the tummy food within a kedei achilas pras. Okay? So, again, 2 eggs of tummy food. There's really no time limit. You could be eating it all day, but each kezias has to be eaten within a kedei achilas pras. What's the other option? Your other option would have been that you have to eat all that tummy food within a kedei achilas pras. So meisve, the Gemara challenges. Kol ha'och limit starfin lipsol hagavia bikechatzi pras. The Brisa says that any tummy food eaten by a person will make him tummy if he eats a half of a half of a loaf of tummy food. Now, the Brisa doesn't say it, but the Gemara assumes, and you have to eat it within a Kedei Achilas Pras. My love, the Achla, Lechati Pras, Bechtei Achilas Pras. The Gemara says, isn't that what the Pshat is? And the Gemara says, Lo, the Achal Kezayas, Bechtei Achilas Pras. The Gemara says, not necessarily. Maybe the Brisa means that you eat a Kezayas within a Kedei Achilas Pras, but the actual totality of that which you ate was much longer than a Kedei Achilas Pras. Okay. Again, the Brisa doesn't say either position, so the Gemara could take either interpretation. Meisvein. The Gemara is now going to quote a Brisa. Now, this Brisa that we're about to quote is a little bit lengthy. It's not that bad, but it will go down about 15 lines from where we start. And again, the basic point now is to try to show us that Shmuel is incorrect, that Rav Papa is incorrect, that in order to be pasul, you must eat a half of a half of a loaf of bread, of tummy food, within a Kedei Achilas Pras. Again, what Rav Papa was saying is, as long as you eat a kezayis within a Kedei Achilas Pras, then you can keep on adding one kezayis after another kezayis to get to the shear of 2 beitzim. The Gemara quotes the Braisa, Kol ha'och le'mitzar from lipsol zagvir be'kechatzi pras, Bichdei achilas pras. Now I'll tell you what, we really could just stop right here. We're not, but I'm saying the Brisa says it. That you have to eat that quantity of food, i.e. a quarter loaf of bread, within a kedei achilas pras. The Gemara didn't have to quote any more of the Brisa. It's clear that Rav Papa is not correct. But in the meantime, however, We're going to go on to quote the rest of the brisa. Ketzad. Achal v'chazav achal imish mitchila achil v'shon v'atzov achil achorna kedei achilas pras mitstarfin. Yosem ikanei mitstarfin. If I eat it within 9 minutes, it'll be mitstarf. If I eat it longer than 9 minutes, it won't be mitstarf. And we continue in the brisa. Lo itir lecho pachos michashir lerid v'litvol yarid v'tav v'ala v'shlima mitstarf. What if you eat less than a quarter of a loaf of bread, let's say you eat an eighth of a loaf of bread, and you of tummy food, and you tovel in the mikvah, and you come out of the mikvah, and you continue eating. Right? Did that toveling in the mikvah help? The Braisa says very clearly, of course it didn't help. Of course not, because...
What was there to help for?
Right. That's essentially what the Gemara is going to say. Meaning, it may be too obvious a point, but the Braisa makes it anyway. If you're not tummy yet... Toveling in the mikvah is not going to help you. It's not going to reset the clock. Correct. A pregnant woman can eat tamei food because there's a danger. Even less than a shear. Okay? The Gemara is going to point out later on, well, if she's in danger, let her eat whatever she wants. Kol Hamashkin, but we continue in the Braisa. Kol Hamashkin Mitzarfin Lifsolsek Via Brevias Bechte Echelas Pras. And the same thing is true with liquid, just that with liquids, the shear is a different shear. The shear is a Revias, a quarter of a loaf, which, again, you want to say 3 ounces. Okay? Approximate. I'm not your posik. I'm not anybody's posik. But let's say approximately 3 ounces. So kate said, shasa v'chaza v'shasa. So let's say you drink, im yesh mitzchil shisiyah rishon v'atzov shisiyah achorna kedei achilas pras mitzarfin. Yosef mekanei mitzarfin. It is interesting, I'll point this out, that even though it's a liquid, and even though the amount of liquid is not based on a kezias, it's based on a revias, it's a different volume, right? It's a liquid measurement, not a dry measurement. But the amount of time to consume it, according to the Braisa, is clearly a kedei achilas pras, meaning it's the same amount of time as it had been a food. Now, let's say a woman's nursing her child, and she is a tamimes, meaning she came into contact with the dead. So now, she's tame. So her son can nurse, right? That's not a big deal, meaning that's not much of a chiddush, but the chiddush is, her son remains tahor. She doesn't pass her tuma on to her son. Stay with me. We're going to come back to that later on. That's an interesting discussion. How? Why not? Right? Yeah, we're going to try to understand that. But anyway, end of the Braisa, put a period over there in the Gemara. And meanwhile, you know why we quoted the Braisa? Because it's clear Rav Papa is not right. Ketani miyad im yesh mitzchila achil rishon v'atzof achil bechte achilas pras mitzarif tiyufta derabanai tiyufta. So the Gemara says, okay, the position offered earlier that if you eat tummy food, you will become tummy, even if I eat it in small increments of one kezias per kedei achilas pras, you're going to become tummy. That's not accurate. That's not correct. The Gemara says it's not the accepted position. In fact, the accepted position is you have to eat the entire quarter loaf of bread within a kedei achilas pras. What is this toveling in the mikvah? Meaning, if you eat less than the quarter loaf of bread of tummy food, so you're not permitted to go to the mikvah, meaning there's no purpose. There's no purpose in going to the mikvah. In fact, if you go to the mikvah, you come out of the mikvah, and you continue eating, you're going to become tummy. The two eatings will combine. And in fact, we don't want you to tovel in the mikvah because we don't want people to walk away with the erroneous impression, oh, if I tovel in the mikvah, it's 3 sets of clock. Because it's not true, it's not accurate. Okay, period. Ketani. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Let her eat whatever she needs to eat. Right. So if a pregnant woman needs to eat tummy food, so allow her. It's better that she eat it in increments of less than a shear. Now, if she needs to do it again, let her do it again, meaning she has a craving, she has a desire for lobster. So, don't know where that came from, but let's say she died. Let's say she died. I don't know. So the I didn't know. So let her eat. It's a sakana, poses a danger. So let her eat. She's a milberes, but if possible, let her eat in increments of less than a shear, and then just continue to do that. And as we all know, on Yom Kippur, that's the recommended procedure, that she drink less than a shear, and then she space it out so that she would not be eating within a kedei achilas pras. Okay. We now go to the discussion of the mother who's tamei or tamea, and she nurses her child, and her child doesn't become tamei. How did you get that? So ketani itir lo tamei meis lahanikas bana ubana tahor. Amai tahor kevin diana chalav it melei mechalav. So the Gemara says that part I just simply don't understand. Meaning, because when the milk comes out of the mother, when the mother expresses the milk, so the milk now comes into contact with the mother. Meaning internally, we understand that the milk is nothing. The milk is not tummy, right? But then once the milk comes out, so the milk now first and foremost touches the external portion of the mother, and then the child is imbibing the milk, which is tummy. So shouldn't the child be tamei? So to which the Gemara says, v'chitem alois kasher. Now the Gemara says, now wait a second, maybe you'll make the following argument. You know, for any food to become tamei, it first needs hechsher. It needs to come into contact with a liquid. Now I know this sounds odd because it is a liquid. So what are we talking about that needs to come into contact with a liquid? But even a liquid needs to come into contact with a liquid. I know that's strange, but... So the Gemara says, Niskasha b'tipa m'luchlecha sapi adad. So the Gemara says, yeah, but every little bit of milk that comes out of mom, the Gemara is assuming now that there's a thin layer of milk already resting on the tip of the mother. And so all the milk that's coming out is basically passing through that little bit of milk. So there is hechsher. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Bar Avuha, shiyanak b'tkifa achas. So the lo iniach tipa m'luchlecha sapi adad. So the Gemara says that the kid who was nursing is extraordinarily hungry and basically went from 0 to 60, meaning, I don't know if you like the analogy, I don't know if I like the analogy, but basically just sucked the milk right out of the mother, and so that there was no starter milk at the edge of the mother, and so therefore the milk was never mukhshar. Okay, the Gemara, do me a favor. The Gemara is going to comment. So let the Gemara do its work. Amar Rav Shei Chuvas Bedavar. So the Gemara says, stop it. Chada de kachazin la puma de yinuka de male chalav. First of all, right, look at the kid's mouth right after he nurses, right? There's milk all over the mouth. So there clearly was starter milk on the mother. Va'od makam chalav mayanhu. And the Gemara says, and also, let's deal with a more fundamental issue. Okay. Milk being expressed by the mother. That's what? The Gemara is now making an argument. It's ma'ayan. Now, what does ma'ayan mean? Now, ma'ayan means a wellspring. Okay. In the context of our discussion over here, it basically means the milk coming out of the mother, we don't call it a food. You know what we call it? Mom. Meaning it's part and parcel of the mother. It doesn't need to fall under the category of food, subject to all the rules of food tuma, of hechsher. Doesn't need any of that. It's just simply mom. Meaning, if mom is tamea, the milk coming out of her immediately is tamea. It's ma'ayan. Diktani chalavisha matame bein l'ratzon bein shalol l'ratzon beheman matame el l'ratzon. Milk that comes out of mother is Tamea, meaning assuming if the mother's Tamea, right? Rashi says we're talking about a woman who's Anida, which I find to be interesting because she's menstruating and lactating. All right, it's fine. Whatever the case is, the point is that whether she wants the milk to come out, whether she doesn't want the milk to come out, and remember, for Hechsher, you need Ratzon. It needs to be V'chi Yutan. So here it's coming out, shalola, even if it's shalola ratzon, the milk coming out of the tamei mother is tamei. So my love, shalola ratzon, delo nichale, v'ktanim tamei, elamarava. So assuming all this is correct, that there's starter milk on on the mother. So that when the other milk comes through, it actually comes into contact with the starter milk, so it's mukhshar. And then the more fundamental issue, that it doesn't even need hechshar, because it's mayan, because it's part and parcel of the mother. And so the milk that comes out is automatically tamea. And the milk is actually tummy, right? Milk is lashon zachar. Anyway, so if all that's true, so then it begs the question, so why, when the child nurses from the mother, is the child tahor? So, Amarava, Haina Taima, the Benatar, the Safik Yanak, Kishir, the Safik Lo Yanak. The Imtim Salama, Yanak, Safik Yanko, Achilas Pras, Safik Yanko, Beyose Michte, Achilas Pras. And so, what the Gemara answers is the classic Sfake Sfaka. It's a double Safik. Meaning, look, first of all, how much did the child nurse? Remember, in order for any human being to become Tame from eating Tame foods, you have to have a Shir. So we don't know if the child had the requisite amount. And also, addition to that, there also is a time that they have to eat it within. The time limit of within a kedei achilas pras. Right? When the child's nursing, even if he ate the proper amount, did he eat it within the kedei achilas pras time requirement? Again, we're not sure. So this is what this is a classic sfeik sfeika. Okay. Now, really, period, meaning that's pretty much the end of the discussion, but there's one point that the Gemara would like to go over, and that was Rava calling the milk coming out of the mother a mayan. The Gemara is going to object to that. Well, Rava, makam chalav mayan, velo tzarech hechshar v'atanan. Ha'isha shenatav chalav midadeh, v'nafa lo avir tanur tanur tameh. So the Gemara quotes a Mishnah, and the Mishnah in Kalim teaches us, yes, it's Mishnah in Kalim. The Mishnah in Kalim teaches us that if I have milk coming out of the mother, and mom's tamea, and the milk goes into the airspace of an oven, kli cheres, so once tame goes into the airspace of the oven becomes tame. So v'nafa l'avir tanur tanur tame, v'kashilam b'mayis kasher. Now, how did the milk become mukhshar? Listen to the language that we're using now. V'amar av yochanan b'tipa mulachlechas api adad. What are you talking about? There's starter milk on the mother. Meaning there's a little bit of milk on the mother, on the end of the mother, so that all the other milk that passes through first touches the tipa muluch leches and therefore becomes mukhshar. V'chitem. Now, granted, by the way, the Mishnah didn't say that. That was Rav Yochanan saying that. And maybe Rava disagrees with Rav Yochanan. V'chitem Rav lo sav like Rav Yochanan v'atanya. Nimtzis ha'ta'om etisha mashkin b'zov. The Gemara says it's not true. Everybody agrees that milk that comes out of the mother is a food, not a mayan. In fact, what we're going to do is we're going to point to 9 secretions of the human body, break it up into 3 categories, and you're going to find that milk is in category number 2. Our 3 categories are, number 1, zeya v'lechas rucha v'reya, sweat, mucus, excrement, tahor mikulan. Those are secretions of the human body. I don't care what the human being is. Those secretions are nothing. They're not tamei. So even if they're being secreted by a person who's tamei, those secretions are zero. Category 2, dimas eino, tears, damakaso, a wound where blood's coming out of the wound, and chalav isha, and milk coming out of a mother, mitam and tumas mashkin berivius. So they're tuma, but how are they tame? Tumas mashkin. They're food. And finally, the third category is rokos ovo meme raglav. Spit, blood discharge, and urine, mitam and tumas chamura bechol shahu. So they are ma'ayan. Those are part and parcel of the mother. So the iyamar makam chelav mayan chelav nami mintam etamas chamur becholshu kizavuroko elosh mamin amakam chelav isha lav mayanu. So on the second part of Rava, the Gemara just obliterates. The Gemara rejects Rava's second point. Milk coming from the mother is not mayan. Excuse me, it's a food. Fine. Ihach ikasha hamas nisan. So the Gemara says that's fine, meaning okay, we are not going to accept Rava's premise that milk is a mayan, but when we quoted the braisa on the bottom of the previous amud, that the milk that comes out of the mother is going to be metame, whether it's leratzon or whether it's not leratzon. What does that mean? Meaning because if it's a food only becomes tame if it becomes mukhshar leratzon. The Amar Rav Metami Ben Laratzim Shelo Ratzim Mitzvah Shelo Laratzim Dama Lo Nichalei Lo My Shelo Laratzim. What does it mean when it says Shelo Laratzim? The Amar the Daita the Tina Krave Lagabe Chalav Avo Amar Lo Nichalei. So the child always wants to nurse from the mother, but if the child says Lo Nichalei, now I know it's hard to imagine that the child is actually going to be able to articulate, no, I don't want. So maybe first of all, it could be that the child is communicating in a nonverbal manner. Could be that that's the story. Whatever the point is, and I've often pointed out that Manny Ramirez, slugger for the Boston Red Sox, you're not following. Anyway, he grew up in such poverty, he nursed till he was 5 years of age. So Ava Amar Lo Nichalei Tahor. In other words, but if he actually says Lo Nichalei, meaning what the point of the braisa is that the default assumption is a child is always going to want a nurse. That's the default assumption, and so therefore the milk that comes out of her is Mukshar Lekabel Tuma. But if he articulates and he says I don't want, so then it's Eino Mukshar. So then the milk that comes out is Eino Mukshar. Okay. Period. We'll stop over here. So again. So today we talked about time span. How long does it take to eat? Do you need to eat your kezayis in order to be chayiv? So the correct answer is kedei achilas pras. We learned in the Mishnah some machlokus between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, but it's kedei achilas pras. We spent a good portion of the day talking about eating tamei foods and becoming tamei. A rabbinic zera is that if you eat tamei food, a quarter of a loaf of bread, a volume of tamei food, you become tamei. You have to eat that within Kedei Achilas Pras. It was the position of the Gemara, which the Gemara ended up rejecting. And the accepted position is, you have to eat that food within a Kedei Achilas Pras. And finally, we talked about the child nursing from the mother. The mother is Tamea. And meanwhile, the child is Tahor. Why is the child Tahor? So the milk that comes out is Tamei, but it's basically Sfeik Sfeika. We don't know how much the child ate. And we don't know whether he ate it within the time frame of Kedei Achilas Pras. So therefore, the child is not Tamei, nursing from the mother. Again, Refuah Shlema for Rafa Zakai Avraham Ben Yakir Avigail.